I'm Michael White in the Manchester Central Conference Arena, used to be a railway station, where later this morning the Tory party will begin to lay out its plans for government. But before the conference has even started, questions remain about the party's unity over that old, deep, visceral dividing line, Britain's relations with Europe.
Votes in favour of the proposal, 1,214,268. Votes against the proposal, 594,606. Majority in favour of the proposal, 619,662. That concludes our proceedings. Thank you.
That is the returning officer, Maurice Coughlan, announcing the result of the second Irish referendum on the Lisbon Treaty, handily timed for last Friday, just ahead of the Tory conference. It was, of course, a result that paves the way for the treaty's full ratification right across the EU27 and, say it quietly here, opens the door to the possibility of a President Tony Blair. Yes, that one. The treaty still has to be ratified in both Poland and the Czech Republic, but with pressure mounting from Brussels, it's likely, I say likely, to pass into law before next year's British election, circumstances that will force David Cameron to clarify what is a distinctly ambiguous position. Outside the conference centre, I caught up with Douglas Carswell, MP for Harwich and Clacton, and an outspoken opponent of Britain's EU membership on current terms. I asked him what and where Ireland's yes vote leaves the Tory party.
I'm very happy with party policy. It's not been ratified. We don't know if and when it will be ratified. As at present, it hasn't been ratified.
What's your working assumption as a student of these fairs? What will the Poles and the Czechs do? Fall into line or stand out?
I don't know. I imagine it's a matter for the Czech Constitutional Court and the Polish president. But, you know, given where we are, I think our policy is about right.
And assuming it... Let's take it one step at a time. Assuming it is ratified, what should the party do?
I wouldn't make any assumption. What I would say is this. Cameron's got a lot of credit in the bank with Eurosceptics. He's done what no Tory leader has managed to do. He's created a sensible new Eurosceptic group in the European Parliament. He's broken the monopoly of the Federalist elite. And he, in leaving the European People's Party, I think has established his credentials. He has actually... done something concrete. So I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt.
And if the constitution isn't ratified, if the Václav Klaus, the Czech president, holds out, he seems to be the best bet from your point of view, then what happens?
Let's wait and see. It's really a matter for the Czechs. I'm not familiar with the details of the Czech Constitutional Court, but
that's an acceptable answer, yes.
Given where we are, I think policy is good.
You're being very disciplined today.
It's great to be here, and there's a real buzz in the air, and it's great to be part of it.
Real buzz means freezing. It was much warmer in Brighton last week.
There are many things you can blame the government for, but I don't think you can really blame them for the weather.
Douglas Carswell, MP, and lurking at the bar of the Midland Hotel, I've found associate editor of The Sun, Trevor Kavanagh, long-time critic of the European Union. If you think the Eurosceptic son's endorsement of David Cameron last week was less than full-throated, then perhaps the lack of a concrete guarantee of that referendum on the Lisbon Treaty is one reason why. What do you think of the Irish vote, Trevor?
It's a tragedy for the Irish, and for Europe, and for Britain. What it does is put the final nail in the coffin unless we have Václav Klaus standing firm long enough for us to have a referendum too.
What's your instinct about what Klaus will do? I get conflicting signals on this.
My understanding is that he will stand firm as long as he isn't impeached or whatever the Czech government might do to him.
Okay. And what happens to David Cameron if he does buckle and sign? How does Mr. Cameron get himself out of this awkward corner?
Well, I think that it's very difficult for David Cameron. If he signs, then we can't have a referendum. And if we don't have a referendum, the pressure on Cameron is... got to grow and become very intense, and something will have to give.
Well, Trevor, how's the Sun's decision to swap ships gone down with Tory voters and Tory leadership? Are they even more glad to see you than usual?
Well, I haven't spoken to any of them since I arrived, but I suspect they're quite pleased.
You must be quite pleased too.
Well, I've got certain views which I express every week in the Sun, so you can probably deduce how I feel from those.
Trevor Kavanagh there. Well, we're here in the enormous aircraft hangar of a press centre at the Manchester conference. If it were at the European Union, it would be five times as large and the food would be free. But instead, we've got Tory posters hanging from the ceiling, a bit like a
Soviet rally,
some say. And they say things like, there is such a thing as society and it's not just the same as the state.
And then the word
social
stronger.
Responsibility. That's Allegra Stratton interrupting there. And Allegra and I are going to talk about the prospects for the week. What are we expecting here this week, Allegra?
Well, there's sort of two competing schools of thought. We either have Don't Mess This Up Tory Party, which is they're ahead in the polls, so they just carry on trying not to be too sensationalist, too different than they've already been, and cruise to victory in 7 months' time. Or they have to start fleshing out some of their other ideas other than the main thrust of what they've been saying over the last few months, which is paying down the fiscal deficit.
There is a funny feeling that at this stage in the proceedings, we ought to know more credible and more detailed Tory policies.
I've just been writing about a policy of how they're going to fund 5,000 extra prison places, taking prison population to over 100,000. And they announced that some months back. And it's parroted in the Daily Mail as a new policy. It's not new.
No, well, all parties are guilty of recycling their policies, but the Tories are in an odd position where they've been promising spending pledges like Billy, a bit like Gordon Brown in a way. Last week he didn't say much about the cuts he was going to have to make, concentrated on the spending pledges. And although David Cameron and George Osborne say they're terribly disciplined, when it actually comes to it, they never sound as if they are. Is that one thing we're going to be watching this weekend, the old cash barometer?
Well, it's also, is it a question of they don't want to tell us because the truth is unpalatable? You know, they'll sell off motorways, shock horror. Or is it because they don't know themselves? I don't know.
Well, it's probably a bit of both, in fact. They don't want to frighten the voters. Mm. On the other hand, they're saying to voters, we've got all this debt, we've got to start paying it down quickly, which is not the view of the G20 finance ministers.
No, indeed. What else to watch out for? I suppose the people to look for are Michael Gove. He's been talking about his Swedish free school policy for ages, and this is the jewel in the crown of their policies.
I think the Swedish finance minister or education minister or something said at the weekend, you couldn't make it work in Britain because the Tories aren't giving them enough freedom.
Well, indeed, and this is what somebody said. I don't know, I didn't read that, but this is what somebody had said of a policy that's held up to be their sort of chief bit of new, fresh thinking that excites people like Toby Young so much that he's going to set up a school.
Says he, indeed.
So there's that to watch out for. Who else? Dan Hannan is someone to watch out for. He's the MEP that we all know because he bashed the NHS in America on telly.
The 60-year mistake man. Yeah, I imagine they'll drug him and drop him down a very deep well, weren't they? He's here, though. I've seen him.
He's doing a Wednesday
he's here with
Fringe.
His mate Douglas Carswell. We've been speaking to him for the programme.
Indeed, so there's that to watch out for. Who else to watch out for?
You haven't mentioned Boris yet, Allegra.
I don't know. I don't like the cult of Boris. I'll leave that to you.
Do you think that the Tory Eurosceptics will be able to contain their fury at the exercise of national sovereignty by the people of Ireland? Or will they push Cameron into a corner where he and Haig clearly don't want to be pushed into promising a referendum, regardless of whether or not this Lisbon Treaty is enforced?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fight. I think that
on
to
the
be
floor?
Fair, no,
you
but
said
in
the
fringes,
best
in the
behaviour.
Well, no, indeed, but in the fringes they can't control it, and the chats in the coffee room they can't control it. Well, I don't think it's going to be a fight because, not unreasonably, if you were so minded to be Eurosceptic, you would think that the High Command's position is a bit untenable. I mean, we just don't know what. It's very unclear, isn't it?
It certainly is untenable, but they can control themselves on the fringe because it's self discipline. I'll give you an obvious example. Labour last week did not misbehave in terms of leadership bids on the fringe. It might have done.
But that's different because you've got a dying animal. You don't want to, you know, what did someone say to us? They said, this is like a funeral, no one's rude about the dead at their funeral. And when you've got a party on its knees, you don't go around misbehaving weirdly, even though you probably should. Whereas this is, you know, fairly triumphalist and, we won't see triumph, but behind the scenes they think it's theirs, don't they?
Allegra Stratton there. A conference doesn't start officially until 10 o'clock this morning, when the delegates can expect a rousing speech from the party's rotund chairman, Eric Pickles, a genuine Bradford boy. Later, they'll get Boris Johnson. But away from the main hall, there's a completely different conference to be found, one of pressure groups and think tanks, lobbyists and, yes, retailers. They're all represented under the arched roof of the exhibition hall. Now, I've been coming to political conferences for over 30 years, and I'm standing here in the conference centre. It's called Manchester Central, and it's called that because it used to be Manchester Central, a railway station, and I'm inside an enormous and magnificent railway shed, a bit like Paddington for Southerners. Mancunians and people in the north will know it very well. But the surprising thing about it is that I am looking at a mini shopping mall being erected here for the Conservative Party conference. On my right here is Harvey Nichols, the posh department store, which appears to have bought a lot of booze and goodies in to sell to the Tory delegates. Then I move a little later, there's Crombie, the expensive coat people, then Tesco, the not-so-expensive supermarket. The noises in the background are people who are erecting it all. Carpet right. I wonder if that's anything to do with Lord Harris. He was a carpet man, top Tory donor. Blackwell's, the bookshop, is here. Ron Payne's Silk's Ties, next to Primrose Telecoms and Guy Wakeling Jewelry. Never seen anything like this at a party conference before. Excuse me, madam, can I stop and ask you, what do you hope to sell here? This is the lady who's in charge of the Tesco store.
We're tasting, but our goods are the Sheldon's. It's a very famous local brand. And we hope to be tasting tea cakes, Nevin Bottoms and Balm cakes.
So what do Sheldon's normally do? I don't know them because I'm a soft southerner.
It's a local bakery. They've been here for a long, long time.
What's an oven bottom muffin then?
Right, an oven bottom muffin is turned twice. It's kind of a balm cake that's baked twice on either side, so it's turned.
And what do you eat it with?
It's quite flat. You can eat it with absolutely anything. You can have a savoury sandwich, you can have a sweet sandwich, you can toast it, you can do a pizza with it. But we also sell other things as well.
Right, thank you, ma'am. That's curries. Somebody's selling curries. Oh, and then we're back in familiar territory now. The people who were at the conferences last week, the National Association of Head Teachers, the National Union of Teachers, the Kennel Club, the de Havilland Defence Company, the Countryside Alliance, the Centre for Social Justice. This is what's normally at conferences, but as I say, tacked on at the end is a bit of a retail mini-market. Quite extraordinary.